We're doing Sefer HaMidot. We're holding the bottom of page Kuf Samach Dalet. Re'e me'ata ad kama chovah la'adam litorer ve'litbonen be'inyanim ha'mizdamnin uv'sibotihim. The Magid Midovna has been developing the idea that things don't happen in a vacuum, and we should recognize that there's God's hand guiding things that happen in our lives. And so he says, look at how careful the person has to be to recognize when things seem to be happening and why they happen. We have to stop and look at it and analyze why did this happen and why did this happen this way and why did this happen in this place and why did this happen in this time. K'mamar, as the verse says in Koheles, Lakol zeman ve'et lechol chefetz tachat hashamayim. Everything has its time, and everything has every occurrence and every object has their time under the heavens. So, v'chulam tachat ha-chefetz v'atzedek, and all of them are really guided by God's justice and God's desire, b'chavana mechuvenet me'et ha-manhig olamo b'chesed yitbarach. And there's a specific reason why this had to happen now and in this place and in this fashion. And there's the one who runs the world who's pulling the strings. So that's why a person has to open his eyes and take note. And a person has to have awe day and night. And a person has to really justly weigh where he's standing in the world. If a person sees that he's successful at what he does, he should give thanks to the Creator. And if you find that you're out of luck, you get there just after the bus left, you're at the wrong place at the right time, at the right place at the wrong time, you see that things aren't working out smoothly, so then you should recognize this isn't a coincidence. This is happening. This is happening. It's a wake-up call. And in up above, they're guiding you. Where should you be going? And if a person doesn't stop to get the wake-up call and be aroused, so then, whether you like it or not, things get worse. God doesn't let up. As the verse says in Amos, God says, I sent the winds, I sent the rot, I caused that your roofs, your vineyards, your dates, your figs and your olives would all be consumed by locust. And you didn't repent, says God. Shilachti vachem dever b'derech Mitzrayim. So then I didn't let up. I said, okay, I sent you wake up call number one. You didn't listen. Number two, you didn't listen. Number three, with the locust, you didn't listen. So then I sent plagues and people died. You didn't listen. Haragti v'cherev b'churechem nimshvi suseichem. And then I killed with the sword the youngsters. I took your horses captive. Ale be'esh machnechem. Then I sent sword. I sent fire to devour your camps. And you still haven't repented. So I sent natural occurrence one after another. You didn't get the hint. So finally I made tremendous upheavals and lands were overturned like in Sodom and Amorah. And you became like that spark that's left from the fire. And you still haven't repented. So God says, I can keep going. Why don't you just stop and prepare yourself to return to your God, Israel? Hashem says, I don't let up. I know what I want from you. So it's up to you to get the hint from the first wake-up call and come back. And one has already explained, there's been a commentary that explained that there's a difference between someone who hits his servant for misbehavior and someone who hits his child. uveshat nefesh yazveu v'lo yiten nibod alav. Because if you're hitting a stranger, you're hitting someone who's not one of your own, it's a servant, it's a slave, so then you got to get the message across, but when things are calm, you say, fine, now he's behaving, or now he's not bothering me, I could forget him. Lochen amakebno. But if someone's trying to educate his son, if he feels that the kid didn't get the message, he's not going to let up. He's not going to say, well, things are calm now, I don't have to deal with it. Because a father wants his child to do what's right. God, that's what God's saying. I didn't let up because I love you, because I care. It's the difference between if your son made a mess or the neighbor's kid made a mess. If the neighbor's kid made a mess in the yard, you just want him to clean up and go home. If your son made a mess, you want to discuss it with him, you want to make sure he understands why it's wrong to make a mess in the yard. You're not done with him when he finished cleaning up the yard. You want to understand, hey, where'd it come from? And the prophet is saying, if you think that I'm going to let go, I'm not going to continue, don't think so. That's what the prophet's saying. I'm not done. If you don't come back, I'm not letting up. And that's the logic that the prophet concludes with. And he says, why am I doing it? What the prophet means to say is, everything I'm doing is really because I want you to prepare yourself and return to your God. So then how could I let up? My point isn't just stop doing what's harmful. My point is grow, come close. And we already find that Job's friend Elihu ben Barachel said, God speaks and repeats himself, sends a dream, lets us know, I want you to stop doing this action. And if a person doesn't awaken with the first wake-up call, and then God sends other wake-up calls, which are less pleasant. That's what Elihu says. A person finds himself lying in bed and he's in pain. Well, that's because they sent him the message in more pleasant ways and he refused to hear. And that's why Elihu said, God initially lets a person know that he wants him to change his ways, to leave iniquity. God lets them know He wants them to change. God wants people to understand why are these things happening to them. People have to recognize when things start going bad, you're being audited. They're telling you something up above. Person has to stop and think, wait, I have to get the hint. So, praised is a person who can go in this way in his life and see that there are wake-up calls in our life and he has to stop and think, okay, what should I change? How do I become a better person? And the living have to take note that our Father up above is compassionate. And He's awakening us from our sinful sleep, where we can comfortably doze through life and ignore the things that need fixing. And it's as though the Beloved is knocking, Pitchi li, open up. Lachsoch nafsho min ishachat. I want to save your soul from destruction. Navio lachaim ve'atov. Ultimately, God wants to bring us to life and that which is good. Ve'la atzlacha nitzchit. And to eternal success. The Magen Midubna concludes the chapter speaking about himself. He says, God, save your servant. Let my heart be unified in the fear of your name. Lisbo ba'akitz tmunatecha, so that I will ultimately merit to see your picture, so to speak, to merit to see you when I awaken. Amen. And to my mind, this is a fantastic conclusion to the chapter. Here he was discussing, for 14 chapters, he was discussing how a person has to focus and be a God-fearing person. And he concludes the chapter with a certain admission that it requires work, and that he himself asks God, help me to have a unified heart. Because our own hearts are divided. On the one hand, we approach Yom Kippur, we're approaching that great day with thoughts of how focused we are to the service of Hashem. And on the other hand, there's a part of us that's waiting to have Yom Kippur behind us. There's a part of us that's interested in going on with life. That's focused on other things. And finds Yom Kippur to be tedious at best. Counterintuitive at worst. And we all have this division of our souls, of our hearts, where there's a constant internal conflict. What will I focus on? We try to keep that side quiet. We try to tell ourselves, focus on the important things in life. And the Magen Midubna over here says that he too prays to Hashem, unify my heart. Let me be fully focused in your service, in the fear of your name, in the awe and the trepidation that I really should have. Here I gave a whole speech, 14 chapters, about how a person should be a God-fearing person, and I admit, I pray to you, Hashem, help me get there.